forget who it was that actually came up with the first plan for this thing. And we, a bunch of people worked on it, you know, and came up with the ideas. We sat down, you know, and drew up a sketch and said, well, okay, we got to bring these prisoners in. And the first thing we want to do is de-lodge the clowns, you know.
Okay.
So we want to have the medical facilities right near the front of the building. So the first thing they have to do, we'll come in there and we'll, you know, run them through a shower and all that good stuff. And then right after that, we're going to sit them down and they got to be checked out by a doctor and then a nurse.
Because I bet a lot of them are coming in shot up or something.
Not that so much, but God knows what diseases they might be carrying with them.
Okay.
And or suffering from something, or they needed certain medication, whatever. And it wouldn't do you much good if they died the first day they were there. You never get a chance to interrogate them.
Okay.
So we figured that one of the first things we needed to do with them when they came in was to have them checked out by a medical staff and cleaned up. So that that's why the medical office was right inside the main gate.
Vietnamese doctor.
And what they would do when they had prisoners coming in, they would get a local doctor or something, who would come, an army doctor would come out. Okay. And for that particular day or whatever, he would check the prisoners. And so that was of necessity. We wanted it close to where the cell block was, so we could run them right through, you know, run them in.
Are you going to draw me a diagram today? Is that why?
Well,
is that what you're planning for?
Yeah, I can remember. I've got the... Like I say, all right, here we go. In the front, I've called. Medical staff was, like I say, the first thing inside the main gate. Over here was usually, there was officers in here, and they also had a weapons room, I think. Cells were down here.
So there's a corridor going down the
down the middle of the cell.
You got doors in it periodically or anything like that, like in a police station, like a jail or something?
Sure, there's cells, individual cells, and they got a door in with a panel at the bottom. You can slip the food in and slide at the top where you can look in and see what the guy's doing and close it. And then the interrogation rooms. I guess the interrogation rooms are down here too. Interrogation rooms are here and up here.
The guards do live
there? Guards live there, absolutely. Yes. The ones that weren't on duty were sleeping there. We had some quarters for them.
So how many...
And,
how many?
They were along here too.
How many Vietnamese does it take to run the place?
God. Guard force, I guess, consisted of about maybe 12 or 14 guys. I don't remember what the hell they were. They were Vietnamese, I know that. And they were, some of them were carrying around, they had given them these goddamn M1 rifles. And they were heavier than, they weighed more than the Vietnamese guards that they could pick them up. And some of them, I mean, they really had a good store of weapons, like a couple of BARs and stuff. And again, the BARs took two Vietnamese to pick it up and carry it. Every place was different. We built them in the mountains, we built them in the delta, and you built them on the coast, and you whatever. And you had to, engineer, go out and check out the spot. You said, we can't build it here. Okay, we find another spot. And once they...
Is it usually near the provincial capital? Is it in like a...
Oh, always.
Always near the provincial
capital? Oh, sure, because that's where our guys were stationed, in the province.
Okay.
Because in addition to training the staffs when they finally get built, I mean, once I get into it all from the graph, I'm going out with each one of them and helping them to locate a spot, giving them ideas about where they might get the property, telling them, you know, because once I'd worked in a couple of provinces with these guys, I'd be able to go and tell another guy, and he's just now getting off the ground. He's just, what do I do first?
Okay.
I say, okay, here's what worked in such province, here's what worked in the other
province. You're talking about the province officer?
Our guy.
Yeah, all right.
Because, you know, they never had any training in any of this either. All of a sudden the guy says, build a pick and staff it. He says, what do I do first? So that was part of my job, to travel around to each place And then, you know, one place I go in, you know, the construction would be halfway done. Another place I go in, they were just trying to find a piece of land. Another place, the next province I go to,
So they're all going up.
They were different stages.
They're all.
According to our priorities, once we said, okay, these six are supposed to be built now, and we had deadlines for them.
Okay.
Deadline for finding the land, deadline for getting a contractor, deadline for starting the construction, deadline for, you know, getting your, recruiting your staff, and then time, the deadline for when we were going to start training them, and so on down the line. And it got to be, you know, we had, I don't know how many provinces there were there, 30-some, 40?
44, yeah.
And so eventually we're going to build one in every one. So
how much did it cost to build a pick?
I'd say, God, let me see, I think about $30,000. Somewhere in that vicinity.
So
the army came in with their plan, it was going to cost over $1,000. I'm not sure, maybe it wasn't that much, maybe it was $60,000, but it was a lot more than ours.
Was it?
And then we had what we called nitpicks.
Okay.
We didn't really call them, they were called demi-picks or semi-picks or something like that.
Okay.
But I call them nitpicks.
Okay.
They were smaller versions of the bigger, the ordinary pick. And some provinces were stupid to have anything real, you know.
So the big ones hold 60 and the smaller ones hold half
of it? I can't remember how many they held. I don't think they held 60. I don't think any of them. Maybe 30 would have been better. Maybe 30 or 40 prisoners.
30 cells or 30 prisoners?
Oh, we only put one prisoner to a cell. That's what we wanted. That's what they were supposed to do.
Is isolating the guys part of...
They didn't get time to go out and walk around in the yard like you do in a prison here.
Okay.
They sat in their cell, and when they went being interrogated, they were in their cell. And once they were finished with the interrogation, they were sent to the local jail or wherever, and then they kept them in... Matter of fact, they were treated better in the pits than they were. Hell, a lot better than they were in some of the local jails. I went in some.
Did you have anything to do with the local jails?
No, but I went into a couple of them.
Did anybody...
Just to look at them,
yeah.
And see how...
Was anybody advising the regular jails?
I don't think so. If any, it would have been a special branch people that were related.
What about public safety people?
Oh, yeah, though, sure they were. Yeah, but no CIA guys.
Okay.
Public safety, yeah, under the AID.
They advise the regular jails?
Well, yeah, that's what their job was. They work with the police. They advise them in traffic control, all sorts of things, you know, whatever they needed.
Okay.
That was their job. They were big fans. I mean, they have 60, 70 people in a room that shouldn't have held more than about 10. But, you know, that's what they had, and that's the way they didn't care. It's criminal. If you're a criminal, you suffer. If you don't like it, too bad. Don't be a criminal.
Did they have any...
These guys, when I said they went to jail, they didn't go to the local lockup.
Yeah.
When they left our place, they were turned back over to the military.
Okay.
When they were put in military POW camps or whatever they called them.
Oh, okay.
Or taken out and shot for all I know. I don't know what they did with them, but they were given back.
What were their jails like?
I never saw any.
Never saw any. Okay.
Say that their jails might have been 6 feet under for all I know.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The question, I've never heard about whatever happened to all the prisoners, the Viet Cong prisoners that was there when the North Vietnamese finally won that war.
Mm.
Were there any prisoners to be released?
Jesus.
Or were they all dead? So my only concern was the...
So you didn't have any concern with them afterwards?
Finding a place to build one,
yeah.
Building it, staffing it, getting some prisoners into it, getting some intelligence out of it.
Yeah.
And then just keep on going. But what happened to the prisoners after they left there, I...
Okay, I'll ask somebody.
No concern of mine. I was worried about building another pick somewhere.
Okay. So, you're traveling all over the place. You travel by Air America?
Air America. It took me everywhere I went.
Did you ever get to know any of the pilots?
Yeah, a lot of them. For the most part, pretty good group of guys.
Yeah, can you...
Crazy. I'm talking to you, I'm not talking about the CT side and the bat team.
Okay.
They're two different shots.
Because you don't have anything to do with them?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot to do with them, but I mean, not to do with six. Okay. Except that, whereas they could help us. And they could, like in the one case where we had the CT team go out and capture some people that we had been pinpointed by one of our operations. Okay. And interrogated them and then gave the information back to the CT team, so they went back out and got more people. These guys were small groups, you know, the CT teams.
Tell me, yeah.
They were heavily armed, but they were a small group. The PAT teams were, I think, 30, 40 guys. The CT teams were like 10.
Yeah.
And they're out there on their own, operating in the jungle, in VC-controlled areas a lot of times. Armed to the teeth, but small groups. What kind of guys are you going to get to do this? You're not going to get your just average Joe off the street who says, oh, yeah, I'd love to. Give me some machine gun. I'd love to go out and live in the jungle, you know, with out amongst 6,000 Viet Cong, me and my nine buddies. You know, I'd love to do that. You get criminals and everything else. Anything to get the hell out of jail. You know, all sorts of strange people that you get out there on the road, who's going to control them?
Yeah.
Well, they decide they want to kill somebody instead of kidnap them and bring them back.
Yeah.
You know, you're not with them. And you have no control, and you have no knowledge for sure what they're doing out there.
Any of them?
Advisors to the CT teams were our guys.
They were, okay.
Yeah.
Civilians?
Civilians.
Okay.
But they didn't go out on patrol with these guys. And the PAT teams, same thing. They were, well, in each province, you had two guys. One worked liaison, and the other worked with the guerrilla warfare guys. And they worked very closely with each other in some provinces. Some provinces didn't even talk to each other.
Later on, what happened? Oh, you never told me how many special branch guys there would be at a pit. You told me how many guards, but you didn't tell me how many
guys. There'd be maybe six or seven interrogators. There'd be the chief and the deputy. Maybe that was it. I don't know, a couple others.
And then guards, but the guards don't do the record keeping, right?
No, they had analysts. I guess they call them analysts. They were civilians for the most part. That worked for the police.
Okay.
And girls, you know, they had secretaries or something did that kind of work. And
doing the record keeping and that kind of stuff.
But the guys that were did the interrogation and the chief, of course, were the ones that were the main cadre of the place, and the rest were either guards or clerical help, analysts, or the kitchen crew, or the medical staff, and supply people. Most of them were either built or under construction by the time I left.
Okay.
It's called career trainees, or JOTs, they call them, junior officer trainees. They went through a course, and they brought them in out of college, you know, and they gave them whatever their GS rating was, and they put them through a 6-month course of training and everything. Part of it was paramilitary training.
Okay.
All right? And then they sent them over to Vietnam. They sent a whole class over there. And they all couldn't go in as intelligence officers. Some went as paramilitary, and they just happened to be lucky to draw.
So they'd send over 40 guys at a time, or something like that?
Well, they did with this group. They sent a whole bunch. Yeah, a whole slew of them. They'd all been, there were like two classes in a row. They graduated within a couple months of each other. They shipped the whole group of them to Vietnam. Their first assignments, a lot of them. They'd never been overseas in their life, except if they'd been in the military first or something.
Yeah.
This is it. Here they were. They were just learning. And some of them were just learning the paramilitary business, and some of them were just learning the intelligence business, but they'd gone through training.
Okay.
And they